daughter home. Her older brothers have been the first to tell me when she's crying, whimpering, or smelling a little suspicious. Somebody needs you, they say. I have no idea how this little saying started, but at first it sort of annoyed me. It could be annoying. I could be enjoying a quick shower. Mommy, somebody needs you. The baby is crying, or sitting down for a second, quite aware that the baby was beginning to stir from a nap, and then I hear, Mommy, somebody needs you. Okay, I get it already. And not to mention that the newborns needs pale in comparison to the needs of our two little boys. Somebody always needs a snack, a Band-Aid, a different sock, ice cube in their water, help finding a lost toy, nose wiped, a hug, a story, and a kiss. Some days never seem to end, and the monotony of being needed can really take its toll. Then it starts to hit me. They need me. Not anybody but me. Not a single other person in the whole world, but they need their mommy. The sooner I can accept that being a mommy means that I never get off the clock, the sooner I can find peace in this crazy stage of life, that mommy is my duty, privilege, and honor. I'm ready to be there when somebody needs me, all day and all night. Mommy means I just put the baby back down after a 4 a.m. feeding when a 3-year-old has a nightmare. Mommy means I'm surviving on coffee and toddler leftovers. Mommy means my husband and I haven't had a real conversation in weeks. Mommy means I put their needs before my own without a thought. Mommy means that my body is full of aches and my heart is full of love. I'm sure there will come a day when no one needs me. My babies will be all gone and consumed with their own lives. I may sit alone in some assisted living facility watching my body fade away. No one will need me then. I may even be a burden. Sure, they will come and visit, but my arms will no longer be their home. My kisses no longer their cure. And there will be no more tiny boots to wipe the slush from or seat belts to be buckled. I will have read my last bedtime story 7 times in a row. I will no longer enforce timeouts. There will be no more bags to pack and unpack or snack cups to fill. I'm sure my heart will yearn to hear those tiny voices calling out to me, somebody, mommy, somebody needs you. So for now, I find beauty in the peaceful 4 a.m. feedings in our cozy little nursery. We are perched above the naked oak trees and watch the silent snowfall and a bunny scampering across its perfect white canvas. It's just me and my tiny baby. The neighborhood is dark and still. We alone are up to watch the pale moon rise and the shadows dance along the nursery wall. She and I are the only ones to hear the barn owl hooting in the distance. We snuggle together under a blanket and I rock her to sleep. It's 4 a.m. and I'm exhausted and frustrated, but it's okay. She needs me, just me, and maybe I need her too, because she makes me mommy. Someday she will sleep through the night. Someday I will sit in my wheelchair, my arms empty, dreaming of those quiet times in the nursery when she needs me and we are the only two people in the world. Can I enjoy being needed? Sometimes, sure, but it's often tiring, exhausting, but it isn't meant to be enjoyed every minute. It's a duty. God made me their mom. It's a position I yearned for long before I ever understood it. Over a 3-day weekend, my husband couldn't believe how many times our boys kept saying, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. Are they always like this? He asked, not being able to hide the terror and sympathy. Yep, all day. Every day, that's my job. And I have to admit that is the toughest job I ever had. In a previous life, I was a restaurant manager for a high volume and very popular chain of restaurants in Palm Beach Garden, Florida. A Saturday night at 7:30 with the expo window overflowing and dishes and a 2-hour wait and electricity inexplicably going out is like nothing compared to 5 p.m. at the Morton House. And let me tell you, South Florida diners are some of the toughest to please, but they're a cakewalk compared to sleep-deprived toddlers and with low blood sugar. Once upon a time, I had time for myself. But now my toenails need some love. My curling iron might not even work anymore, and I don't know. I can't take a shower without an audience, and I've started using wrinkle cream, but that is proof of motherhood, proof somebody needs me. That's right. Somebody always needs me, like last night. At 3 a.m., I hear the little footsteps entering my room. I lay still, barely breathing. Maybe he'll retreat to his room. Yeah, right. Mommy, mommy, a little louder. Yes, I barely whisper. He pauses, his giant eyes flashing in the dim light. I love you. And just like that, he's gone. Scampered back to his room, but his words still hang in the cool night air. If I could reach out and snatch them, I could grab his words and hug them to my chest. His soft voice whispering the best sentence in the world. I love you. A smile curls across my lips, and I slowly exhale, almost afraid to blow the memory away. I drift back to sleep and let his words settle into my heart. One day that little boy will be a big man. There'll be no longer any sweet words whispered to me in the wee hours, just the whir of the sound machine and snoring husband. I will actually sleep through the night, and every worry of a sick child or crying baby, it will be but a memory. Those years of being needed are exhausting, yet fleeting. I have to stop dreaming of one day when things will be easier, because the truth is it may get easier, but it will never be better than today. Today, when I'm covered in toddler's snot and spit up. Today, when I savor those chubby cheeks and little arms around my neck. Today is perfect. One day I will get pedicures and showers alone. One day I will get myself back, but today I give myself away, and I'm tired and dirty, but I'm loved so much, and I got to go because somebody needs me. And I just want to add to that that the role of a mother never ends until death. It definitely changes but it never ends. With a grown child, one has to be fervently on your knees and in prayer for your children, and that God would guide their hearts. And as a mother, you have to learn to let go completely and let God keep them in his care.
Thank you for that, Julie. I know I hope to be a mom someday, and my mom's like, just wait. You want that so much right now. Okay, next we'll have Mary Ellen come up.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all and those who wish to be. When Vanjie approached me, she wanted me to give some thoughts as to how does a wife become the head of home biblically. Just hang on. And I thought, oh gosh, how am I ever going to do this and get through it? Because emotions are raw. As I am living in it now. Thank you. In Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the house. He is head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. It is a difficult role for a woman who has to take over when her husband can no longer do it, and Glenn cannot. 4 years ago, he almost died, and he was in amnesia for 6 weeks. And at that point, I realized that he may not recover. So I did a lot of praying, and the Lord guided me that I had to continue on like we always did. So I started doing the daily prayers and the devotions, and he still wasn't coming out, and I knew he heard me because while he was in amnesia, he was extremely anxious. And so when I would pray and do devotions, I could see that he could calm down. But then I realized that if he cannot come back, I have to get the house handicapped accessible. So I prayed on that, and I called a contractor, and lo, behold, from Streeter, the contractor was there in 3 days, which is about unheard of. And so I had the bathroom and the bedroom redone so that if I had to use a wheelchair, I could do it for him. When his birthday came around, I took him to his favorite restaurant. When our anniversary came, I did. He did not know anything that he was doing. And then all of a sudden, one day during devotion, 6 weeks into it, he came out of it. There was hammering and all kinds of stuff going on in that house, and he looked at me, he says, what's going on? And I said, you've been on vacation. We're renovating. He has his ups and downs because of his heart. And I have now worked on a guest room in case I will need a nurse or a helper to help me get through this. The one thing the Lord has impressed upon me, though, is that when you are determined to keep your husband at home no matter what, you have to be with people of like belief and faith, because if you don't, they're not going to support you in any manner. They're quick to say, well, you can always put him in a nursing home. Well, I'm saying they can't take care of him like I do. You have to have that support group from your church. And you need to be careful to whom you're talking to, you know. So many people are so arrogant and belligerent, and if you don't believe like they do, then they can really destroy your faith that you have that the Lord will get you through. I think in all of this, my biggest fear is losing the grace of a Christian woman. Afraid of being bossy when he cannot remember what I told him 5 minutes ago, and you just kind of, Lord, patience, please. Needing compassion and the love that Christ gives each and one of us. You get tired, you have no privacy, you're tired, you're doing everything because he can no longer do it. It's and only through the grace of God are you going to be able to do it and still be his wife, respect him, and love him as he did me. In the last 4 years, I've done a lot of reading, and Chuck Swindoll said this one thing, and it has struck home to me for so long. He said, you don't give yourself to others or consider them valuable if you do not, first of all, consider yourself worthy. Our own insecurities cause us to be constantly preoccupied with ourselves. Love draws on the resourcefulness of one's own esteem in order to have a sufficient supply to release it to someone else. And it takes a lot of personal security to do that and the strength from God. To be able to set yourself aside, because I will tell you what, when you have all of a sudden taken over a household and a farm, sometimes it's so overwhelming you can't hardly function. And then I call Vangie, or I call Steve, or I call somebody that I know. When a woman takes over the household, Satan has a pure opportunity to attack, and you are constantly under fire. Especially when the role is reversed, he sees an opening and he will jump right in. And without Christ, we are never going to mature in his word because we're so busy. The little foxes are the ones that separate us from our communion with God. And so, you know, when you're trying, I had to learn how to put a light fixture in the ceiling. Really? What is this wire? What is this? Am I going to electrocute myself? But, you know, when things like that happen and you get so busy, those little foxes start separating you from God. And if you don't take the time to rest in Christ, you will allow Satan in, and he knows what your desire is, and he will try to destroy it. Because I will tell you what, when I found out how my role changed, I just kind of screamed, I don't like this, God. I want it the way it used to be. There was no answer but the quiet of, but this is the way it is. You have to constantly take up your shield of faith in order to extinguish all the flaming arrows the evil one will throw at you. You cannot be afraid to confide in somebody that you're in trouble, that you need help. A lot of us think we can do it on our own, and believe me, you can't. We can persevere even when times get tough in our hearts and we start feeling lost and alone. But in Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And I hang on to that verse because sometimes that's the only way I make it through a day. And I wish to also tell, becoming a head of a household doesn't just mean for older people. It can be meaning for someone in their 20s that are just married if their husband winds up with multiple sclerosis and he's in a wheelchair. Believe me, it can happen to anyone in this room. Age doesn't mean a thing. So I have learned a few things from the Lord in my private time. We are like an oarsman. Trusting in Jesus, we do not lean on our oars and drift with the tide. We do not trust on the current. No, Jesus shows us the way, and it will be against the tide that we have to direct our effort. We will find strength and joy in our duties, and that is only found in Jesus. And many times I say joy, but you know there's always the joy, because every once in a while, Glenn is having a really good day, and it's like things always were. And do you know how fast you forget that you're in charge? Because you forget. You want it the old way. You want him to be head of the house. So when he's having a good day for a couple of days, I forget. Then all of a sudden when he changes, it's like I've been kicked in the stomach again. But you will always have that bit of joy that opens up. We also have to learn to rest in God. He will lead us when the way is clear. We will be able to go forward unafraid because Jesus is with us. We need to truly listen, and listen to his voice as his hand is controlling all. We must remember to rest in God because he can only work on us when we are resting, when we're paying attention, and always to follow his guidance and to be absolutely terrified to venture out on your own. Don't rely on your wisdom. There isn't any. Always doubt your wisdom. It'll lead you down the wrong path. And in the process, Jesus will teach us humility. And I have found that humility is not beating up on myself, but it is learning to forget myself. And the more I forget the self, I remember Jesus and I remember Glenn. Also, as head of household, harmony is desperately needed. We always have to strain our ears to catch heaven's music. And lastly, I learned that agitation is destructive to the good of Christ. Is it really worth getting agitated because he might have forgotten something 10 minutes ago? Because all it does is start separating you. And only calm is the builder of good. And at that same moment, your calm with Christ becomes the destruction of the evil one in your home. Because I will tell you, he's lurking there all the time. And so I have learned, be still and know that I am God. And that there is only calm with God. And that calm is trust in action. And only trusting God can keep one calm. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen, for sharing that very, very powerful testimony. BJ, I'll have BJ come up now.
Morning. Standing in front of people is not my favorite thing. And Mary Ellen, I've got my tissues here too. Because talking about motherhood is definitely emotional in many ways. To start out though, before I even start, is Sierra here? Sierra, in my class, they are learning the books of the New Testament, and it's up to them to do it on their own. I'm not helping them. It's if they wish. And she has learned her New Testament books of the Bible, so I'm going to, first of all, let her recite those.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 3 John, Jude, Revelation.
Thanks, Sierra. I only had Sierra in my class today, so I have brought, sometimes instead of starting a new lesson for the kids, because I have five as a rule, I brought Bible trivia. And so she and I played Bible trivia today, and she has an amazing memory of what she has learned in her life already. I attribute that to her parents encouraging that. And we played, like, I'd give her the children's questions, and then she had to ask me the adult questions. And when we were about done with the first round, she said she wanted to try the adult questions. And actually, she was ahead of me, and so that's wonderful. Just keep remembering and thank God for the memory he's given you, and use his word in your life. Second thing, before I actually get on to what I was going to speak about, mothers, got a package in the mail yesterday. And, of course, when I get a package, I can't wait. I knew it was probably a Mother's Day gift, but it said Baba, which is what my grandchildren call me, Baba, and Baba Goldhammer. And so I opened it up. And initially, I thought it was from Sally. But open the card, and isn't this a beautiful card? I just love the cards. And I'll probably cry with this, but as I was reading it to Bill, I started crying. I couldn't finish, so then I waited till I was done crying. I said, okay, here's what it says. And I started crying again. Anyways, it's from my son, Don. And I, too, will get over the crying part. It says, this day honors all the love, warmth, and care you give to your family and all those around you. Happy Mother's Day. That's what the card says. Then he writes his note. The best way to show how beautiful you are is to try and live in the way you showed us by your example. You have given us the tools to be the most understanding, patient, honest, loving, caring parent we can be. If you didn't show me how to live, I wouldn't have the life I do today. I thank you for that. When you look at all your children and the values they show in their actions, you know and can see we are all on a path created by you. Thank you so much. I will love you unconditionally. And actually, the words he used are the words I'd use for my mom. In the same way, to thank God for my mom. Talking about my mom, she's 86 years old now. She is in a home, and I'm thankful for the good home she is in. She's being taken care of very well. Growing up, Mom was the Proverbs 31 woman. She took care of our needs. She was a good wife. She was a wonderful mother. She stayed up into hours of the night doing things, canning, and all the things that a wife and mother do. And I remember that, and I do things with her too, you know, weeding the garden, canning, and all that kind of thing. And she taught us well and how to live. And when she got older, and when we were gone from home, and actually quite a bit older, she became my friend. And we had good times, because we'd take a trip to Canada almost every year, because that's where her family was from. That's when my mom became my friend. And we'd laugh, and we'd share. And she was just so pleasant, you know, to get to know in that way. And I'm thankful for those memories. As she got even older and had to have more care, I'd have to say the nicest thing that my mom has ever done for all of us kids, and I hope I'm the same way. I don't know if I will be, because my personality is a little bit different, I think, than my mom's. When she needed decisions made for herself, she didn't buck the system. She said, "What do you think?" She looked to us kids. She says, "What do you think would be best for me? Do what you think is best for me." She'd never put up an argument. She never, well, then we would say, "Well, Mom, what would you like to do?" So she'd give us her thoughts. But she waited for us to ask her that, and she had a thought. And so we tried to honor that. But the best thing is that we have not had a struggle of how to care for our mom as she's gotten older. That is such a blessing. It just, there's no stress there. There's no, I don't know how to describe it. It just makes it a wonderful experience as she's aging. And I would encourage all of us to have that attitude when we get old, or if we need, or old or not old, if we need help that we can't do things ourselves, let's allow people to help us. Let's allow our families to help make those decisions without a struggle. That is such a blessing. So remember that one thing. Overall, the thing I want to say about my mom is that she has been faithful and is still faithful to God. And that is what I see in her, and the Lord has blessed her for that. And as a reminder to us, I have just typed up scriptures about faithfulness as a reminder that it is all right in here for us to know and to live by. I'll try to read these quickly. Faithfulness. Psalms 36:5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Psalms 40:10. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation, which is what Mom does. She loves the Lord. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Psalms 92:1-2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Psalms 101:6. Oh, talking about that every night. When I'd stay at Mom's when she lived in Judd, I would hear her praying every night when I'd stay there. You know, she'd lay in bed, or actually sometimes she would kneel when she felt she could, and I would hear her praying. Psalms 101:6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Proverbs 14:5. A faithful witness will not lie. Proverbs 25:13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. In other words, people can be counted on if they're faithful. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 1 Timothy 3:11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And Mom definitely taught us by her example. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then, of course, there's Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And I just am thankful, you know, for my mom, who was very faithful. And in honor of my mom and with her faithfulness and God, I'm going to play Greatest at Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, BJ. That was beautiful. And I have to say that as I've gotten older, me and my mom have become friends, and which is good because we couldn't have handled more of my teenage years together. But she's definitely become one of my best friends. Now we're going to have the flowers, the presentation to the women of the church from Kathy.
Good morning. I have a passion for women, and I have a passion for young women as well. I just remember reading an article many years ago about a woman who was childless, and that Mother's Day was the hardest day of the year for her and her husband to come to church because it was a painful day. And I've always remembered that, and I remember a woman that I knew years ago, I've known for years, who had multiple miscarriages and was pregnant finally and carried this baby to like a week of delivery, and then she went in to see the doctor and the baby had died. And so she delivered a not living child, but she no less as a mother. And I think that we as women, God created us to be nurturers. And even my daughters, even though they are not mothers, they can be nurturers as well. And so even whether you have ever had children, whether you are single, whether you are married, God gives us that nature and that character that we project to others. And so I don't like to exclude anybody. So every woman, regardless of whether you're 90 or almost 94 like my mom, or whether you are, who's the youngest one here today? How old are your girls? Marcia? 5. Rachel, are you 4? I know we could have maybe a couple of babies here, but every female here is going to be given at least a flower, I think maybe we'll be able to do too. As well as I want you to be able, we have enough to be able to take, Betty Jo, I want you to take to your mom. And I want you to take to Jan. And if you have women in your lives that you're going to be seeing, one take for Cora, please. And I'm looking, Frank, if you see your mother, and I know that there's more too here, please take for Cora, for the women in your life that we should be able to take and to be able to share for Dolores, please. So if I don't think to say something to you when you come back, just remind me. Make sure you take for your mom, too. But I want to talk about just read a reading. And we did a Mother's Day program years ago where I elaborated on this reading called Beauty Tips by Audrey Hepburn. And I've got a little reading that each of the women I want to take. It says, for attractive lips, speak words of kindness. For loving, lovely eyes, seek out the good in people. For a slim figure, some of us are still working on that, share your food with the hungry. For beautiful hair, let a child run his or her fingers through it once a day. For poise, walk with the knowledge that you will never walk alone. People, even more than things, have to be restored, renewed, revived, reclaimed, and redeemed. Never throw out anyone. Remember, if you ever need a helping hand, you will find one at the end of each of your arms. I am reminded of this being restored or redeemed in dealing with Uncle Alan's family this week. Adam had a girlfriend and been around her maybe 2 or 3 times and wasn't real impressed with her. And when I walked into the house on Monday night and I saw her, she had glasses, but she didn't even look like the same person. I wondered, did he get another girlfriend? Or is this really, you know, she looked kind of like her, but she was different. And she just radiated. Her face, instead of being, she seemed so hard to me initially. But she was very different, and having had an opportunity to visit with her and get to know her this week, I told her the other night before we left the prayer service, I said, I have a confession and an apology for you. And I related to her, and in talking to Kim, she had some struggles and had been going through a really difficult time. And God redeems, and God restores, and He reclaims. And I think of that with maybe my future son-in-law someday, and having come out of prison and the ostracizing that he may receive, but that God can reclaim. And what we know of him, you know, there's so much great potential in what God can do with his life, but all of us. So we have flowers, so please stop. You get to pick a couple of carnations, the colors that you want, and we'll put them in little cups, so it may take a little while. But I just pray that God will raise up all of us women to be the kind of women that God would call us to be, because it's a high and a holy calling, and to be able to encourage and uplift. And I thank Mary Ellen for her poignant words, and, you know, such a vulnerable and being transparent to that parts of her life, and Betty Jo in caring for her mother and the things she sees. I thank you for that, for the women.
Okay. Well, now we'll have our closing song, number 300, Cleansing Wave, in the Green Book. If you'll stand.